Thank you for being with me this morning. You know, just because someone has been a Christian for many years, it doesn't mean that they are mature. They may be like the person who's been a teacher for 25 years and hears of a job promotion that she applied for. And however, someone else who's been teaching for only a year was hired instead. When she goes to the principal and asks why she didn't get the job, the principal says, "Well, I'm sorry, but you haven't had 25 years of experience as you claim. You've only had 1 year's experience, but you've had it 25 times. During that whole time, the teacher has not improved." So it can be the same way with Christians, that they have not grown, but simply repeated their first year of spiritual life over many times. The lack of spiritual growth or spiritual immaturity is a dangerous thing. There are many blessings that we can have and enjoy in Christ that only the mature Christian can truly understand and appropriate. If someone remains spiritually immature, they don't come to fully appreciate their standing and blessings that they have in Christ. They have deprived themselves of greater understanding, and they are more susceptible to the wiles of the devil. The author of the Hebrew book found himself faced with this problem. He had a lot to say about Christ as our high priest, but the spiritual immaturity of the readers made it difficult for them to understand. And so he thought it necessary to temporarily digress, to back up a little bit, in Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. So the question is this: what about you? Are you growing spiritually as you should? Or are you repeating your first year over and over and over again while remaining spiritually immature? Do you know how to determine whether you are spiritually mature? In our text, the Hebrew writer gives us some identifying marks of spiritual immaturity, indicators, if you will, that reveal when someone is in need of growing up spiritually. For example, one mark of spiritual immaturity is, as he says in verse 11, dullness of hearing. The Hebrews had become dull of hearing, and this prevented the writer from going on with his argument at that particular moment. While the material he had to share was hard to explain, it wasn't so much the difficulty of the material itself as it was their own inability to receive it. So they had become dull of hearing. And that may imply a regression. They have gone backwards in their supposed learning and spiritual growth. At one time, they were not dull of hearing. They may have been like the Bereans at one time, who received the word with all readiness, Acts 17 and verse 11. And just like most converts are truly sharp in their listening at first, they are excited about what they're learning. They listen with great readiness, and spiritual growth does occur. But it's not uncommon for apathy or an I don't care attitude to set in, making us dull of hearing. So when one becomes dull of hearing, they begin to regress to a state of spiritual immaturity. So my question is, are you dull of hearing? Ask yourself these questions. Is Bible class dull to you? Are the Bible classes dull? Does reading God's Word, has it become dull to you? When you listen to sermons, are they dull? Is anything that is spiritual in nature, like singing, praying, dull? If it is, if they are, then you have become dull of hearing. If you listen at all, it will be to those who are willing to tickle your ears. And you will be susceptible to being misled, as Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. Now, when one is dull of hearing, it's only natural that the next mark of spiritual immaturity will be the inability to teach other people. That's what we see in the first part of verse 12 of our text. The Hebrew writer tells these people that they should be able to teach others. they had become Christians. They had been Christians for quite some time. He says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. They had had time to learn. They had had time to grow. And a natural response to growth is to bear fruit. One way we bear fruit is by teaching others. In one way or another, they should have been able to teach other people. Maybe not in a formal sense, because not everyone is gifted in that way. But all can share the good news and the hope that they have with others. That's what we see in passages like Acts 8 and verse 4, 1 Peter 3 and verse 5. Peter tells us there to give an answer, to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. You see, the Hebrew writer is telling them that their need for someone to teach them again the first principles demonstrated their spiritual immaturity. So here's a question. Are you able to teach others? Assuming that enough time has passed since you obeyed the gospel, are you at a point where you can teach others? Now, either formally as a teacher instructing others in the faith, like a Bible class or such things as that, or maybe it's informally by just sharing your faith with others. Maybe it's around a coffee drink, around a dinner table. But do you find yourself saying instead, I don't know what to say? Then it sounds like you have forgotten the first principles, and you may need someone to teach you again. If someone has not progressed to the point where they are somehow, in some way, teaching others about Christ, then they are still spiritually immature. And one reason why this may be true is also another indicator of spiritual immaturity. He tells us in the second half of verse 12 and verse 13 that they're feeding themselves a diet of milk. Now, a diet of milk is often necessary. And certainly it's needed for those who are babes in Christ, as Paul would describe in 1 Corinthians 3. But it's also for those who have regressed, as the Hebrew writer tells his writers, chapter 5 and verse 12. Now, such a diet includes what is described as the first principles of the oracles of God, later called the elementary principles of Christ in chapter 6. But our diet must one day include solid food. Just as a physical baby has to graduate to solid foods in order to grow mature to maturity, also a babe in Christ cannot mature unless the diet goes beyond the first principles. Wiersbe, in his commentary, offers an interesting explanation as to what may be the difference. He said, milk refers to what Jesus did on earth, his birth, life, teaching, death, burial, and resurrection. And he says, solid food refers to what Jesus is now doing in heaven. In other words, his priesthood. Now, if our diet remains milk only, then we are unskilled, literally without experience in the Word of God. And we will remain babes in Christ, Hebrews 5 and verse 13. So let me ask you this question. What has your diet, your spiritual diet, been lately? Has it been limited to milk? Milk only? Has it even included milk? You see, some people that claim to be Christians may not even be getting the milk of the Word. And then are you getting any meat spiritually? Studying portions of God's Word that may challenge your understanding. And stay with us in the study of this Hebrew letter, and you're going to see and you're going to sure to get some meat of the Word. A milk-only diet leaves a person immature, and by default, one who is unskilled in the Word of righteousness. And this will turn produce, and this will in turn produce another trait of spiritual immaturity. The inability to discern. That's what he tells us in verse 14. Normal spiritual growth exercises the senses. You see, he tells us that even the milk of the Word is designed to train our faculties, our thinking, and by exposing us to the difference between right and wrong, and in this way, our spiritual senses exercised. And then, by reason of use, we learn to discern both good and evil. With clear examples set before us in the Scriptures, we learn right from wrong. We thereby develop the ability to distinguish between good and evil. and we become able to apply general principles to specific situations. Specific condemnation of a practice that is it's not always necessary. And we can discern when something is more like the good or more like the bad. You see, spiritual immaturity lacks this ability to discern. A babe in Christ often has difficulty discerning the difference between good teaching, that is the truth, and bad teaching, error. Good conduct, which is righteousness, and bad conduct, which is wickedness. An inability to discern then leaves that individual open to being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, as Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1, verses 6 through 8. So here's another question. Do you have the ability to discern? Can you apply general principles to a specific situation, or do you have to have a clear thou shalt not in order to determine if something is right or wrong? Are you able to recognize when a doctrine is true to God's word? Or do you depend upon someone else to tell you, to spoon feed you, if you will, to take you by the hand and lead you? In other words, to tell you what is right and wrong, what is truth and error. You see, there are certainly other indicators of spiritual immaturity. But in our context, we have found that our attention on the four presented here, dullness of hearing, inability to teach others, a diet of milk, and the inability to discern, all of these should serve as warning signs to us that something is missing in our lives if we're Christians, because they are truly marks of spiritual immaturity. Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going to discuss the danger of not growing spiritually. And we're going to see why it's so important for us to do so, to grow spiritually. And Peter warned that growth is the antidote to prevent us from falling away. He says in 2 Peter 3 in verse 18, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever." One final question. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord? I want to thank you for being with me this morning. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. You can email me if you would like to discuss this lesson or any other lesson at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can join us this morning. We will begin a gospel meeting with Brother Jared Jacobs coming in from Kentucky. We will have services beginning at 9 a.m. and then we will have another service at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. this evening. Now each week, each night this week, Monday through Friday, we will assemble at 7 p.m. Again, that's all week long. We'll have a guest speaker with a gospel meeting. Brother Jared Jacobs, Monday through Friday, will be 7 p.m. each evening. And again, if you'd like to discuss this lesson or any other lesson with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com, or you can go to the church's website and listen to it again. That's churchateastside.com. Thank you again for being with me.